I'd like to read to you this morning from Quiet Talks with the Master by Eva Bell Werber. I am at the center of your being. I am at the center of all the universe. As this thought becomes alive in your consciousness, all the power of it will flood your life. Live, my child, in this consciousness today, and you shall be ready to receive other truths and lessons I would give you shortly. Each day shall you receive a message which shall be as a guidepost on the path of life. I am at the center of your being. I am the cause of all that comes into your life. When sin, sickness, or distress enter your being, it is because you have brought it there by ignoring my perfect law. You have followed a law of your own outward self. You have made it supreme and so received that effect. The more you become conscious that the outward is only the expression of the within, and as you know and realize, I am at the center of your being, and that the outward is only the house wherein I dwell. To that degree of realization shall I be able to bring my perfect effect into evidence into your life. Carry with you this day this thought. I am cause, and the effects in your life shall be only such as glorify me. I am absolute. To see me in the absolute in all lives, in your personal life, in the life of all things, whether plant, mineral, or animal, is to come to the highest form of realization. Then you know that every cell, not only in your body, but in the universe, is a living, vibrant part of me. I am absolutely all there is. That which seems not of me is only your mortal misconception. This full, complete realization is more than knowledge and does not come at once to you. So do not be dismayed if at times it seems only a hazy idea, but strive constantly to bring it more closely into your life's daily practice. Practice my presence at all times, and you shall thrill with the mighty rush of my spirit through you, as the canyon walls thrill and re-echo to the rush of the mighty waters rushing down between them. Go forth in the duties of your day, knowing that I am absolute. Our Bible reading today is from Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae with thee, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is coming to you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. My subject this morning is entitled Beyond Religion. I'd like to read you something which I think is wonderful. The title of it is Where is Heaven? And it was written way back in 1935 by a man by the name of James M. Warnack. How would you describe the you that asked for immortality is a question attributed to Lord Buddha. A good man died and appeared at the gate of the paradise of which he long had dreamed, asked for admission. How old are you? Asked the angel at the gate. 60 years old, replied the candidate. Do you want to walk about heaven with 60 years upon your shoulders? Asked the angel. Make me younger, begged the man. Once you considered yourself 2 years old, said the angel, do you want to enter here as a being 2 years of age? No, answered the man, a babe knows too little. Would you come in as a youth? Asked the angel. No, said the man, youth is not wise enough, and it is too full of fever. Would you enter as a middle-aged man you once were? Asked the angel. No, he replied, middle age lacks enthusiasm. Then what age of you desires admittance here? Asked the angel. However, I cannot let you enter at any past age. For all that was you in the past is gone forever, or at least the forms of you exist no more. Go back to earth and live again. Place your mind and heart upon the eternal. When you come to realize that you are older than the oldest star and younger than the last assembled sun, then you will not need to ask admittance to paradise, for you already will be there. If you enter here now, you will think that you have attained something, and you will not be satisfied, for you will wish to attain something higher. The truth is that there is nothing to be attained, for within yourself is all that is, has been, or is to be. Discover yourself, and you will have discovered life and eternity. Always we talk about going within and becoming acquainted with the real you, which is to say, God through Christ in you. There are many religious paths, and more are coming into existence all of the time. It seems that everybody wants to be a spiritual teacher, a guru, before they have even learned how to be a disciple. The word guru, as most of you know, is he or she who comes to lead you out of the darkness into the light. And such a one must have picked up his own cross, which is his body, and followed the way of the Christ by whatever name they want to call him, in order to realize their oneness with God. It cannot be attained in a moment. And so, therefore, after every great teacher comes, a church, an organization, a particular teaching is built around them. The master doesn't do this. Only the disciples who follow afterward. And gradually, as time goes on, the disciples feel that they can change what the master said and maybe make it a little more beautiful, a little better, cut out a little here, add a little someplace else. And in doing so, they make it stir They strip it from the real truth. Everything that is in this chapter in Colossians is the truth of God. And the Apostle Paul realized that because he had taken the teachings of the Christ and he had gone within his own body and he had found the Christ within himself so that he had union with him. I am the way, the truth. I am the life, the way, and the truth. Nobody can go to the Father except through me, said the Christ. And it says here, and he is the head of the body, this body, which is the church, and as he said, the temple of the living God, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now you will notice it also says that he is the firstborn from the dead. And this means that man in his human state cannot realize his oneness with God. He's too involved with the things of the senses. He is too involved with all of his desire nature. I want this, I want that, give me something else. Lord, please take away this illness. Please take away this trouble. Everything in the world you are thinking about is in the sense of duality. And your full attention is not upon that one who has all of the answers, all of the help, all of your prosperity, all of your love, all of your forgiveness, all of everything. And he is to be found, as the Christ said, only within yourself. Ye are the temple of the living God. So without that living God, there is only a body here. It has all of its component parts. It goes about, it does things, but who directs it? Who gives it the strength? Who gives it the power? Who gives it the intelligence? God is beyond all of these things. And yet he contains within himself all that there is. And until you really decide that you are going to be a disciple of Christ and follow him, and give up all of the things that you have been in the habit of doing, of thinking, of saying, and fix your full attention upon him, you will never realize the fullness of what you can be, what you are. There are many people that waste their time. They forget the vows that they have taken. This is particularly true in marriage today. When you take that holy vow before God, you agree to forsake all others and cleave only unto each other. This is for better, for worse, in sickness and health, adversity or prosperity. And it should be adhered to. To break a vow made before God is a very serious thing. And then it puts you in the stream of cause and effect, which the Hindu religions call karma. And that karmic pattern continues on until your debt is paid out. And every time you do something which is not in accordance with the law of God, then you pay a price for it. And you cry out to God to relieve you of the misery which you yourself have brought upon yourself. Now, as all of you know, I require very few things, and I keep repeating them. No drinking, no smoking, no drugs except for medicinal purposes, and no living together without benefit of marriage. These are very simple things, and yet they seem very difficult for some people to maintain. And yet it has to be done, because if you are going to realize God within yourself, there must be, in the first place, faith, hope, and charity. I think hope should come before charity, because in the beginning we hope for something. And we hope for it until finally that hope builds into a higher power, and gradually we attain faith. Now we know that charity has been transposed into love, because God is love, and without the love of God we can go no place. Why do I ask these things of you? They seem so difficult for some people. I ask them because this is the temple of the living God. He is entitled to have it pure and holy. And you cannot expect to get your God realization from a pill, a shot, or whatever they're taking in the way of drugs today, because it will not work. It is a thing to be earned. Unless you pick up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple, he said. And to pick up your cross and follow him means to emulate him in every detail. Now it speaks of Jesus drinking wine. But he drank of the wine of the Spirit. We are so prone to take everything literally because our mind is constantly dwelling in the things of the senses. But he gave us the wine, he drank the wine of the Spirit. And he showed us how to drink that wine. He gave us the food of spirit. And he showed us how to attain that by his own wonderful living example. So this body must be pure, absolutely pure, before you can really realize God. No man has seen God at any time. So it is only when man has given up his humanhood and has gone through the crucifixion on his own cross, when he has gone into the depths of the hell of his own being, that which he has created, and gone through the experiences which are necessary, then, after the third day, or having gone through the experience of being, having the consciousness released from the three bodily jars, first the physical, because that was formless, then the light body, which controls all of the energy in your body, the nerves and whatnot. And then the first cause, which is the idea body. The consciousness must be released from all of it. And you must die. And you must ascend into hell, and then you must arise from the dead. And it says, and having made priests, peace through the blood of his cross, not on, but of, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So man must go through this tremendous experience. And it is not an easy experience. But if Christ went through it, then why not we follow his example? We say how much we love God the Father. We say how much we love Jesus the Christ. Yet is anyone willing to pick up his cross, which is his body, and follow him and emulate him in every detail? He was no namby-pamby, no Casper Milquetoast, as he is sometimes pictured. He was a man who had strength and power beyond anyone's belief. Why? Because he had come to serve God in man. He had come to establish a new order. He had come to show man what he was like inside and what must be done. And he showed us the way in every way. And yet it has been misinterpreted. The parables are not understood, the truth behind the parables. In the beginning, man goes to whatever individual, whatever church that his consciousness is able to receive. And it is good that he has put his foot upon the path. Very good. But in order to progress, you must take the first step from where you are. And you must keep climbing the ladder until finally you get your God realization. So you go from religion to religion, from church to church, from individual teacher to individual teacher, until at last you realize that you have not really found the truth in all that has been given to you. Because it is given to you as being historical. It is not given to you as the living truth of that which happens within every man when he is ready to receive it. It is not given you to know that you must be still and know that I am God, as it says in the 46th Psalm. That you must go into that holy of holies, that inner sanctuary of your own soul. You must close the doors of the senses. Forget all of the things of time and space, the Word and the Adam, which are the four beasts before the throne, and fix your full attention upon him. If you will do this, all of your troubles will disappear. You will not be gravitating between, shall I do this, shall I do that, shall I do something else? And your ego is at play, because what you're doing is to find out what is the best thing to enhance what you, the human self, wants to do, the human ego. And you're not looking inside to find out what God, through Christ, wants you to do. You have to listen. You have to go into the stillness of your own being, and you have to listen. I keep emphasizing this. Listen for God. There is a great deal of difference between prayer and contemplation, because we are always praying to God for something, and very seldom, if ever, for the realization of our oneness with Him. But when you are meditating through contemplating God alone, then He listens to you. He lifts you up into His arms, and He tells you, He whispers in your ear, the wonderful truths. He gives you revelations of the truth behind the parables. He puts you through what is necessary. He is sorry that you have to suffer, because He is a God of love. But you have brought that suffering upon yourself. And just as you go through pain when you give birth to a child, so also you go through pain when you give birth to the Christ child within yourself. And the transformation takes place from the human to the divine. So then you too can become an heir with Christ. You too can become a master. You do not supersede or supplant anyone else. It means that you have become master of yourself. I call the great spiritual teacher that I studied with master. He was not my personal possession, my master in that sense. But I called him master because he had gone through what was necessary to find his union with God. And from this great man in India, I heard the truth of the Christ as I had never heard it in any Orthodox church at all. For the first time, I knew that heaven, hell, and purgatory were not something outside of myself, but they were inside of myself. Inside, that God was inside, that Christ was inside, that I didn't have to wait until I died a physical death in order to find Him, to go to heaven, hell, or purgatory. Very few would go to heaven in the first place. Some might reach purgatory if they were particularly angelic, but most of us would be in the hot place. And that is totally what we have to look forward from the dogmatic teachings that are given to us. We make our own heaven and hell. Because if heaven is within us, so also is hell, or the place of darkness. If you look it up in the Bible dictionary, you will find that hell, or Hades, is a place of darkness, a place where man is still in the ignorance of his own being. And he has to do what is necessary to rise out of that hell, to arise from the dead and to be reborn. And that is the second birth. It is the second coming of Christ. It is not just going up before an altar and saying, I accept Christ as my Savior, and think that you are reborn again. Delude yourself not. It is not that easy. You cannot ride on the coattails of Jesus Christ, who lived 2,000 years ago, if you're truly going to be His disciple. You cannot. You must find the Christ. You must find Him within yourself, because He said, Lo, I am with you always. He is in every atom of space. He is in every form that has been created and beyond. He is everything there is, was, and always will be. That is my Christ, and He is universal. And I love Him with all of my heart, my mind, and my soul. But I listened to the injunction of this great master. And I went within myself, and He taught me how to do it. He taught me the true meaning of the parables. And my love for God in this man was so great, because He had finally taken me out of the darkness into the light, that I was willing to do whatever He asked me to, whatever was necessary, in order to attain that tremendous goal which He had set before me, union with God the Father. Remember that the Christ said, I of myself am nothing. It is my Father who doeth the works. So he came to lead us not to himself, but through the example of truth which he set before us, to the infinite Father, who is the Father of us all. Our religious differences must cease. We must stop putting new names to an organization which we have created in his name. Because every time we do, we make a new division in Christ, and Christ is one. It says so in this book, which we say contains the truth. Christ is one. He is everywhere equally present. And so we must know that. We must stop this division. We must learn that each man is entitled to worship God in the way that God directs him. And he is speaking of the same Father God, regardless of what language, what religion he belongs to, because there's only one. And would God be so discriminating? How dare we be so egotistical to think we as Christians are the only ones who have the truth? How dare we? I have seen souls of other religions that were so beautiful, so dedicated to God that their whole bodies shone with his light, where there was nothing for them but God. And the power of God was within them so greatly that they could raise the dead, heal the sick, walk on water. They had the power of bilocation. You name it, they had it. I had the privilege of sitting and smelling the perfume of the presence of God within them. I had the very great privilege of sitting at their feet and listening as truth poured forth from them. Not any dogma, not in forms of parables, but truth which they have had the courage to do what was necessary to experience within themselves. And they were holy men. Make no mistake about it. They were very holy. Their whole lives were dedicated to God. They lived him. They breathed him. They spoke his name. Or they remained in silence to help a suffering world. But they gave of themselves freely in every way. They went beyond churchianity. As I've told you before, and you know well, we have no organization, we have no name, because only God's name is important. Only the way of the Christ is important, by whatever name you call him. And I never want an organization formed around the things that I have taught you. I have paid the price for knowing the truth which I have taught you. But I do not want an organization formed around it. Rather, let go out and through what you become yourself in God, attract others like a magnet. Be a candle, a light on a hilltop, to serve God, to light the way for others. But do not ask them to join an organization, and never charge them anything for the service which you render them. But rather, do it for the love of God. Because if you will do this, if you will give yourself and everything you have to him, you will have no wants, no needs. You will be wondering how you can give away of the tremendous bounty that comes to you so that you can help and raise a suffering world. We have to get our minds off of our little selves. We have to forget churchianity. It is good to go to church. I am not denying the good that all of the churches do, and the people who get up there and serve, I'm sure that most of them are tremendously sincere. And they work with people, and they do good for people, and they lift people up at the level of consciousness which they are at that particular point. But there comes a time, just like when you graduate from the university, you have to decide whether you want the truth, whether you want your master's degree, whether you want your doctor's degree, whether you want to become one with the supreme master, whether you want to become one with the supreme physician. And then this body which he made, this body not made with hands, will be used in the service of God through Christ to lift a suffering world out of the darkness into the light. You have to go beyond religion if you're going to as we know it. Because God made man and man made religion. Remember that. God made man and man made religion. And he has made it his God instead of going beyond religion to the source of everything there is. You have to do this. You have to be steadfast. You have to gather your strength from the four corners of the world that you have dissipated in your attachment to all of the things and withdraw it into yourself. You have to cultivate loyalty, honesty. You have to become pure in thought, word, and deed. You cannot do otherwise than expect to attain your goal. Look at the things that are required of you in this worldly service that we give. You have to take the first step, as I have said, before anything starts to happen. You have to take it in faith and hope that you will accomplish your goal. But unless you go in the consciousness of God, it isn't going to be as great as it could be otherwise. But you have that goal set, and you're willing to spend long hours going to school, studying at home, thinking about it night and day, waking up from sleep to think, well, now how can I promote my business? How can I do this? How can I run that? How can I get more money? It goes on all the time. And yet all of these things build up into one thing, and that is to keep you bound to the things of the flesh, to keep you worrying all the time instead of setting you free. If you will go beyond religion and fix your mind upon God alone through Christ, you will find that you are free. And you don't need to care what the world thinks, as long as you are one with your Father God, as long as you are listening and following His voice of direction alone. You don't need to care if the whole world is against you, if it rises up and tells you that you are so awful because of what you have thought, said, and done that it wants to kill you. You need not care, because remember it says that 10,000 shall fall by your side in such a case, but not one hair of your head shall be touched. Not one hair. I have walked into the fire. I have dealt with things that are beyond human conception. I have fought with entities. I have gone through the mystical crucifixion and gone into the depth of hell within my own being and fought all of the demons that were there of my own making. I have risen from the dead, and I have ascended and been given tremendous revelations. And still I of myself am nothing. And yet, conversely, I am that I am, because I have paid the price for knowing. And when you pay that price for knowing, you know that you know. But when man says that he knows and he has not paid that price, then he is just giving lip service, and it will never work. Think of it. Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up, shall draw all men unto myself." Look at the world today. And if you want to take it from the orthodox standpoint, he didn't make it. Because the world has not been lifted up. It has never been in such a shape in all of the history of the world as it is today. It's brutal. It's terrible. It's so filled with the sin of separation from God that it is unbelievable. We aren't safe in our homes, on the street, in the parks, at our business. No place are we safe except within the sanctuary of our own soul. So it means that when you have lifted up the Son of Man within yourself, when you have had the courage and the love of God sufficient to give up your humanness, you do not really give it up forever, because God is both human and divine. But you become, regardless of whether you're a man or woman, male and female, totally balanced, the male and the female parts of every person, the soft part, the love part, and the part that is governed by reason. And then also, you are still human and divine, because you're still living in a human body. And as long as you're on this earth, teaching, speaking the truth, you will be living in a human body. You will have to use your five senses. But The difference is that you are not controlled by them. You are not the slave. You are the master. Wouldn't it be wonderful to think of if each one of the people here in this congregation would pick up their crosses, which is a body, and follow the Christ and emulate him in every single detail until they became one with God through Christ, and that they could go forth and spread that light throughout the world and change this world. How is it going to change if we don't change ourselves first? So all that is spoken of in here happens within yourself. The virgin birth happens when that which is within you is given the power of the Holy Ghost. And that Christ seed, that bread and blood, or the body and blood of Christ, actually comes down from the sacred colostrum under your brain, goes the journey and returns to Galilee and passes up through what we call the Christ Center here, and then comes into your throat. And this is the body and the blood of Christ. This is what was imbibed at the Last Supper of the humanness within us. At the humanness within us. Then we are given the second birth. We are given the second baptism. And it is the baptism of the Spirit, not of water, not of flesh. But it is through the baptism of fire, through the baptism of blood, that we attain this final baptism of the Spirit. And we are lifted up, and we become, instead of just the sons of man, the sons of God. We respect our fathers, our mothers, because they gave us the blessed privilege of having this human birth. Pardon me. But our full attention, the allness, the wholeness of our being, is on God the Father. And we are absorbed in him, his beloved child, forevermore.